right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12, if you will. If you don't, there's one in front of you can use while you're here. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Anybody just lift your hand up if you need one. Also, if you need a 2018 date book, we have some out there at the welcome desk. You're welcome to take one of those. And it actually has devotions in place in there for your prayer list and a pad and KJV verse to memorize for the week and all kinds of good stuff in it. So encourage you to take one of those. And congratulations to Darrell and Becca Martin. They're here tonight with their little one, Charlotte Marie. Now she's what, 2 months old? 2 months old, and she's a first time visitor. She's over in the nursery, and so it's good to have them with us tonight. God bless you. Congratulations. Let's take our Bibles again. Luke chapter 12, verse number 35, if you will. We're going to read some verses, and then we're going to talk on here, continue this. We're doing a section, a whole section here. This whole, you know, we've been in Luke here a good bit. This whole section is included in Luke and not in the rest of the Gospels. And remember, Luke gives us Jesus as the Son of Man, our relationship with others. He talks about how what we are as Christians in the context of this realm in this direction. Now, that relationship is affected by the vertical relationship. We're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, what's his commandments? They include an awful lot about how you relate to others. And so you really can't divorce the two. It all goes together. When a heart's changed toward God, it's going to be changed toward others. And so there's some things we need to think about here. And so here he's talking about, again, our heart toward God. And if our heart toward God is not up to par, if you will, our relationship with others is also going to be anemic. It's also going to be affected by our sin. If I'm right with God, I see myself as I should in God's eyes, then I will relate to others more properly. You see, if I think I'm a big shot, and I think God ought to be, grateful that he has me, then I'm also going to think you ought to be grateful that you have me. But when I realize that I'm a sinner that should be in hell, but only by the mercy, I mean not just grace, but mercy, totally undeserved, by his mercy, he saved us. When I realize that, well, then I'm going to be a whole lot more right and transparent and forthright and loving toward those who are here. Now, let's go ahead and read. We're going to start in verse number 33. 12:35. Take heed, therefore, that the light, which I'm looking at 11. No wonder it didn't look right. There we go, 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Now, you got a lot of he's and who's and so forth, and you've got to make sure you got those right. Verse 37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he, the Lord, shall gird himself and make them, the servants, to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. So they're all waiting for the bridegroom to show up, but when the bridegroom shows up, those who are waiting are going to get served by the bridegroom. Okay? That's what it's saying there. Verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whoever that he may be, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day. It'll happen. It'll come someday when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To whom men shall have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this. I hope you understand this title by the time we're done. What are you watching? What are you watching? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help me. I need your Holy Spirit. I need you to help me to be able to present this the way that you would have it presented, so we all understand it just as you want it to be. So Lord, we put it in your hands, and we give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the last four or five Wednesday night sessions that I've done, the basic topic has been what? Hypocrisy. Now, as we get, if you get a little further in this passage, verse 56, again it says, ye hypocrites, ye can discern. So this is all one big conversation here. He has not changed topics. Now, a hypocrite is someone who either takes the place of something that he's not, pretends he's something that he's not, is trying to help, trying to make people believe he's something that he's not. He's play acting. That's really what it means. He's play acting. Now, we use that term, and we think, well, certainly none of us would ever be hypocrites. You know, the fact is, we've all been hypocrites. Anytime we make out to be something that we're really not. Now, I'm not saying. And again, I had someone say, well, that means you're supposed to go to church, and if you're not feeling nice, you're supposed to go there and whine and complain. He didn't say that. Things may be bad. And you say, well, you know, if someone says, well, you're doing fine. I'm doing fine. Why am I doing fine? Not because of my circumstance, but because God's still on the throne. I'm doing fine. Everything's in a haywire. I mean, everything's going crazy. But the fact is, the Lord's still on his throne. What am I going to do about it? By taking thought of it, can I add one cubit to my stature? Take no thought, because tomorrow, you know, today is what it is, and you know, no sense of trying to live tomorrow on today's grace. And why worry about it? I just take no thought for that. Sufficient to it to the day is the evil thereof. You know, let's just take it one day at a time. So I'm not saying lie, but on the other hand, there are some people though who want to look like they're spiritual and they're not, and we've got it. And the point is, none of us are perfectly spiritual. Okay, so we all take our halos off, and he's talking to all of us here. And a goal is to aim toward perfection. We will never be perfect, but we are aiming that direction. By the way, if you're anything that you do, I have a hard time with this too. Don't aim for perfection. Aim for excellence. Aim to do the best that you can. But if you aim for perfection and you fail, there's some people, and I'm one of those, I had to get past this stuff, because I learned a long time ago, I'm not perfect. But I was like, if I couldn't be the best of it, the best at it, I didn't want to do it at all. Well, then there's a lot of things we're not going to do. When I found that I'm just kind of a jack of all trades, really a master of none of them. You know, I do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you know, that's the way it is. But sometimes that's okay. In fact, that's who we are. If that's who God made us and God calls us and puts us someplace, that's who we should be. Now, we've been discussing the characteristics of those that put themselves forth as Christians and disciples who are not fully or completely, if you will, truly disciples. These people are pretending to be focused on the Lord when in actuality they're not. They're focusing on the temporary things of this world rather than on the eternal and everlasting things of God. Now, we can say we trust God for our protection and our provision and our well-being, but if and when our protection and our provision and our well-being is threatened, we turn back to what the world has to offer rather than what the Lord can do. We're only pretending to trust God, and we're not truly trusting Him at all. You see what I'm saying? Now, the fact is we all say, well, absolutely, that's what we're going to do. But then when it really comes down to, well, your life was on the line, what do you do? Well, you put your life on the line. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, my well-being is on the line. Well, then you put your well-being on the line. If that's what we have to do to not sin, to not go back into the world. We are pretending to be something we're not. And as tough as that term sounds, we're hypocrites. We're acting. Now, when I ask, what are you watching? You may think that I'm talking about your television habits. But I'm not. But indirectly I am, because that does end up being part of this. You know, but so, you know, it's kind of a telltale sign. Now, true disciples of Christ are looking, watching for His coming. To be true disciples, the reality of the blessed promise of Christ's coming is as real to him as the fact of His first coming. Now, see, he's talked about he's watching for His coming, for the bridegroom to come. We're the church. We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. So he's talking about while we're living our lives, how do we live it? What is the context of our decisions? What is the context of what we do? Is the context thinking about what we're going to do down here? Or is the context the main priority, which is saying, well, he may come at any minute? Now, see, if we realize he could come at any minute, it may change what we do. I mean, the fact is, if I told you that I got a phone call from the Secret Service and Donald Trump is going to show up here at 8:05, and I called you all and said Donald Trump was going to come here at 8:05, at least some of you probably would have dressed a little differently, or you would have made sure you were here. I'm just not blaming me. I'm just saying we would have probably said, well, you know what? I'm going to put my tie on tonight. I'm not complaining you didn't put your tie on. It's Wednesday night. I'm all right. Well, I'm just saying if he knew he was coming, there's probably some things we would do differently. Now, we realize that Christ could come at any moment. And when he comes, will he find us watching? Will he find us looking that direction, making our decisions with that context? See, that's the question here. We say we believe in him, we believe in his coming, and yet if we're not careful, we make our decisions as if he's never going to come or he's going to come long after we're gone. Now, he may be coming long after we're gone, but we don't know that. On the other hand, we're still going to have to stand before him, whether he comes down here and we stand before him, we go up there and stand before him. We're going to have to stand before him, and so do we live with that context. 1 Corinthians 5 says, we are confident, I say, verse 8, and I will willingly rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So whether we're in his presence or whether we're not in his presence makes no difference because we're doing it for him. Verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch this. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So he's saying, whether he's here, whether we see him, whether or not, doesn't change the facts that he's coming. Doesn't change the fact that we're going to stand before him. And so do we live as if that's true, or do we not? We can say we fear, he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So we say we fear God. But if the fear of God doesn't really change what we're doing, then do we really fear God? And are we actually pretending
to fear God, and we don't.
Now, people who are playing, I'm going to use the term because there it is, hypocrites, have their eyes on the temporary things of this world, the possessions, the position, the provisions offered by this world seem to be of much greater concern to the hypocrite. The hypocrites are measuring their success by the world's criteria. True disciples measure their success according to what the Lord thinks about them. They're not worried about some man showing up, but they are concerned about the Lord showing up. Let me read one other passage. We'll get to number one here in a minute. 2 Timothy 4:1 says this. You've heard me preach this before. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But, he says, you, watch thou in all things, adore afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. This is what we're doing. Why? Because we're watching for his appearing. Watch this. Do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Because Paul says, now, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, watch, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You see, listen, if you're looking forward to his appearing, then chances are you're probably in good shape between you and him. If you're not looking forward to it, it could be that you simply don't care. And if you don't care, chances are our lives is not going to reflect the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. If we're watching for the Lord to come and want to make sure we're doing right when he comes, that may change our lives and our television habits. But it's going to change our lives. Number one, let me give you some things here. And we'll see what we get done tonight. Number one, we are on active duty at all times. We are on active duty at all times. We need to be wide awake and serving when the Lord shows up at our door. Now, we don't know when he's coming. And the fact is, it's a shame that we have to have him hanging over us to do right. But the fact is, if that's what it takes, then that's what we should do. We need to be doing right. Look at our verse says in Luke 12 there. It says, let your loins is your thighs, is your strength, the strongest muscles in your body, the strength of who you are. Let your loins be girded about and lights burning. That mean girded about, it literally means that, you know, they would wear a robe type of thing, and the guy's robe had a way that you could pull that up, you pull it up there and you tuck it up underneath the belt. That's girding your loins. That's so that, you know, you can get in, you can run. It's hard to run in a dress. And so it's just so they can run, they can do what a man's supposed to do. That's why they did that, because they expected men to have to do other things that the ladies shouldn't have to do. By the way, guys, if you make your ladies do things that they can't do it like that, well, they can't be feminine when they do it, well, then you ought to do it for them, all right? But anyway, that's 2 cents. But anyway, they tucked their hems in between and secured with a belt. And he says, so I want you to get yourself ready to go to work. Then he said, and your light's burning. He says, don't turn off the light. We're not going to sleep. You don't know whether it's going to come day or night. In other words, don't let your spiritual life and your Christian life go on idle. Don't let your spiritual life, your relationship with God, go on autopilot. Because the fact is, it's not going to do right on autopilot. It's not about all you've done. It's about what your heart is. Don't let your relationship cool off. By the way, that's the way you ought to be in your marriage too. Dr. Hudson used to say, if people would do after they got married what they did before they got married in order to try to get married, they probably never get unmarried. You know what I'm saying? You know, you date and sweet and all this kind of stuff, and then once you get married, well, you got them bagged now. It doesn't matter, right? So anyway, but listen, our relationship with our Savior should never grow cold. We're not a Christian on certain days of the week or certain times of the day. We're on duty all the time. Don't turn out the lights. We're still on duty. Listen, don't put on your bedclothes. Don't put your PJs on and sleep a while in your spiritual life. We're on duty all the time. Then it says, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh, knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. So in other words, he's saying, we need to be looking forward to receiving, to giving credence to admit when Christ comes. In other words, we should be at every moment ready for him to show up at the door. Now, this doesn't happen too often, but every once in a while I'll visit a door, and sometimes on Saturday, all I'm trying to do is give a visitor a little packet with some information, let them know we're thinking about them. And sometimes I get to go in and talk to them, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I hear this, I knock on the door, hey, it's a preacher, and then fix everything up so I can walk in the door. Now, you know what, probably if you came to my house, there'd probably be a little bit of that too. But the fact is, you know, they're not really ready for company, and I understand that. We ought to be always ready for the Lord to show up. If the second coming of Jesus is real to us, we ought to be living accordingly. Do you really believe in the imminent return of the Lord? If you do, you will live your life accordingly. If we don't believe in the imminent, the next thing could happen at any time, the imminent return of Christ, our life will reflect the lack of urgency. If we don't believe that, it will reflect a lack of urgency. Well, you know. Once again, we can claim to believe one thing and yet live a testimony of another belief. You see what I'm saying? We can claim, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for him to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Just not today. Well, wait until about 18 months from now. I'm working on some things here. And come back and see us in 18 months. We don't know. It doesn't work that way. If we are prepared for the coming of the Lord, we don't have to clean up the room before we open the door. Get the idea? We have been diligently keeping our lives clean. We've stayed busy preparing for the bridegroom's arrival, doing what he asked us to do while he was gone. We are on active duty at all times. Number two. Those that serve the Lord while he is gone will be blessed of the Lord when he returns. Those that serve the Lord while he is gone will be blessed of the Lord when he returns. It basically sounds like this. The Lord's going to make dinner for all those who are awake and serving when the Lord comes back. In figuratively speaking. But you're going to be blessed. He's going to honor. He will actually serve us. He came for us. He wants to give us a blessing. Look at verse 37. It says, blessed, fortunate, in a good position. You're sitting pretty. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. That word watching, you got it there. Awake, vigilant. In other words, not allowing themselves to fall asleep on the job, but they're diligently serving. You know, if we're not careful, it's pretty easy as Christians sometimes to say, you know what, I've done this, I've done this, and done this, and done this. Let somebody else do it. And then the Lord comes home, and that person's been doing it for 2 days, and you're not. Boy, if I just hung up on 2 more days. I just hung on 2 more days. And by the way, we've been talking about this on Sunday morning, but it's not you that does it. It's the Holy Spirit who does it through you. So in other words, allow yourself to be his vessel, clean and ready for use another day. Now I know this is not, it didn't come from necessarily a great spiritual source, but it's still good thought. One day at a time, you know. That thought, just take it one day at a time. Well, I don't know if I can do this for another year. Don't do it for another year. Do it for another day. And the next day, do it for another day. And the next day, do it for another day. Yield for another day. Sufficient. Listen, don't worry about down the road. When the Lord decides he wants to stop you, he'll stop you. He says, you're in a good position that when the Lord comes, he finds you awake, vigilant, you haven't fallen asleep on the job. And he says, watch, verily I say unto you that he, the bridegroom, shall gird himself. He's going to pull that belt up there and he's going to go to work. Gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve. He's going to wait on them. He's going to wait on them. Now watch. Someone that, this is letter C, I think. I don't know if we got a letter C or not. Someone that only believed so long didn't really believe. Now hang tight with this. If you were dead sure that if you waited outside of the M&T Bank down here on Palomino Drive, that eventually someone's going to come out there and give you $1 million, you know, dead sure, you might just stay out there until it shows up. I mean, there's people who do that for Chick-fil-A. You know, they open up a new Chick-fil-A and they stay there all night, green the heaters and the cards so they can have Chick-fil-A for a year. And they wait there because they say, if I'm one of the first ones, I get Chick-fil-A for the rest of the year, for a whole year. Now, wouldn't it be a terrible thing? You fall asleep and everybody got ahead of you in line. You work that long and you miss the last part. Now, the fact is, everyone, you know what? I don't know if this is true. It's not worth waiting. I'm going home. I tell you what a lot of folks do. They'll say they believe God, but then he doesn't come on their timetable. And so then they stop. In other words, they just thought they had a good chance, a pretty good chance of it happening, and we were willing to gamble on that chance to a certain point. But when it seems that it was taking too long, they back out. I'm not so sure about this. We back out. Well, we got it in writing. Black and white, we have the promises of God. That doesn't change. The Lord changes not. This is a faithful saying. These write these down because they are true and faithful. Verse 38, watch it. It says, And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, in other words, working, ready, vigilant, blessed are those servants. See, he may not come to the second watch. He may come during the second watch, which is like right before midnight. Or maybe during the third watch, which is a little after midnight. Well, a little late now. I thought he was going to come today. We don't know how long we will need to wait for the Lord to come back. However, those that continue to wait on the Lord, even when it appears that the Lord tarries or maybe isn't coming at all, that's the person that really believes. Because everybody else thinks I'm a fool because I'm still waiting and no one else is waiting. No, you're the one that believes. Where's the promise of his coming? That's what the world says. Verse 39, and this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. In other words, you say, well, I'll wait around if I know that he's coming between 9 and 5. You ever have to wait for somebody to say, well, I'm going to be there. You know, we're going to have a piece of furniture delivered, and it's going to be somewhere between 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. You know? But you know he's coming, so you're going to wait, because even if it's been all day, you know he's going to wait because he's coming. The Lord says he's coming back. But the fact is, we don't know when he's coming back. We just know that he is. See, the good man in the house, he said, well, I'll wait because I know when the thief's going to show up. No, you don't. Thief doesn't show up when you think he's going to show up. The thief shows up when he knows you're not looking. Now, he's not saying that God's trying to play games. He's saying you keep looking because the thief is going to show up. You keep looking for whenever he's there. Stay on the job. You're on duty. Now, that's a terrible thing to kind of relate the thief with the Lord, but he says, I want you to understand. And you know why he did that? Because he knows where they're looking. What's important to them? Their money. Bet you if you knew somebody was going to take your money, you'd keep your eye open. But you don't care if you're going to lose the rewards in heaven, the blessedness of heaven. Like I said, a lot of times when the Lord can't get our attention, he gets in front of what is our attention. He takes that which is most precious to us in order to get our attention. Anything that's more precious to us than him is an idol. And really is going to keep you from rising up in the arms of faith and being all that God wants you to be. So if you know when the thief is coming, you're most likely wait until it's almost time for him before you begin to prepare for the intrusion too. Well, he's going to show up between 4:30 and 5, so I'll get my gun out there and we'll wait for about 4 o'clock in case he shows up a little bit early, and I'll be ready for him. But we don't know when the Lord's coming. Since we do not know the time the Lord's coming, we will stay ready at all times. I think we're lazy sometimes, we're irresponsible, and kind of need an added incentive to remain active until the Lord comes back. But he said, I thought we believed in the Lord. We say we do. Do we live like we do? Number 3. This kind of applies to everybody. Watch this. All those that continue to watch for Christ's coming are those that are his disciples. Let me say that again. All those that continue to watch for Christ's coming are those that are his disciples. Hang tight with me. Let me read the verses with you. Verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? He says, okay, does this apply to just, you know, us big shots here? Or does this apply to everybody? Are we the servants you're talking about, or can anybody get in on this servant position here and be blessed when the bridegroom shows up? And Lord said, verse 42, all right, he asked a question, because I want you to think about this. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? So you're saying, does this apply to us or everybody? Say, okay, well, let's see who the steward is. And we'll see who it applies to. Who then is this, that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? And then he answers it. Blessed is that servant, whoever he might be. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. How does one become one of those servants that's going to be blessed when he comes back? Well, then you simply be one of the, you just be the person who's waiting and watching and serving till he comes back. It's your choice. You decide whether you want to be one of those servants. And if you decide you're not going to wait around, well, then you're no longer one of those servants. All means all those that choose to watch for his coming. Those who know the terror of the Lord persuade men. Those who are looking to his second coming, always abounding, knowing that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's not speaking to certain people that God has chosen to be faithful, but he's speaking to everyone and anyone who will choose to be faithful. So this is within reach of all of us. Letter B. Those that watch are faithful and wise stewards. Those that watch are faithful and wise stewards. Those that do not watch are not faithful and wise stewards. They're unfaithful, unwise. Letter C, the promise is for those that choose to be faithful. And how you be faithful? Continue to watch. Continue to be ready. To continue to have the lights on. Continue to be on active duty in your Christian walk. You say, well, I can't go to sleep. No, you get to go to sleep. But, you know, God knows that. You need to have your rest. You put all that's all part of the deal. But we don't have to put our spiritual walk to sleep. We wake up the next morning, die to self, be faithful. Here I am, Lord. What do you want today? I'm wherever you go, leave me where you want me to do. Now, I know there's certain things on my schedule. He knows you got to go to work. He knows you got, he said, you know, if you don't work, neither should you eat. He wants you to be a good employee. You go back and listen to Paul's epistles. He's talking about, you know, you need to be a good employee and you need to be a good boss if you're the boss. And all those things are part of life. But you do so in fear of the Lord. You do so in obeying his commandments. If you're obeying his commandments, you're going to be what you need to be toward other people. So God blesses the faithful, and being faithful is not put upon us, but it's our choice to take upon ourselves. Letter D, those that do not choose to be faithful do not receive the promise that he's talking about here. He's talking about the blessings. He's talking about the work. He's not talking about your salvation. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't get that confused here. But he says, blessed. You're going to be pleased. Listen, I want to go to heaven. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to go to heaven and say, well, he's saved, yet so was by fire. You know, he didn't have anything worth throwing at my feet here. No crowns. That's all going out in the trash. But he's here in heaven. That's good. But I don't want to just sneak in by the skin of my teeth. I want to make sure that I want to be in there. I want him to say, well done. You've been watching, haven't you? You've been waiting on me. You've kept the lights on. You haven't gone to sleep on the job. Number one underneath letter D. To not choose to be faithful is by default choosing to be unfaithful. Isn't that right? Look at the verse 45. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants. And in other words, just starts living like the world again. Eat and drink to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him asunder, will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You'll be treated just like somebody who was never saved in the first place. As far as this, you know, within context. Put it in perspective there. So in other words, if I'm not watching, then he's going to come when I'm not watching because I'm not watching. You see what I'm saying? And so he's saying here, if he said, oh, I don't think, I'm just going to go busy, I'm going to live my life here, I'm tired of this Christian stuff, you know, I'm going to go to Independent Fundamental Baptist Anonymous, don't have to worry about all this. By the way, there are some Independent Fundamental Baptist churches that have tried to muscle everybody into sanctification. You know what I mean? Regulated it until it's nothing but you're just trying to measure up to a line of criteria. Now, we should find out where we need to go and let's just all get on the board and go there. You know, I'm with you, you help me, I'm going to help you, let's just keep moving. I don't need to sit there and listen, he without sin cast the first stone. You know, well, you go to some churches, there's stones flying all over the place. You got a good church, there should be stones flying. Don't shoot the wounded. Go to your brother, you know, if you have to. But chances are, you know, they're going to hear it from the pulpit eventually. And let the Holy Spirit work on their heart and let's just encourage them in the right direction. And don't do it yourself. The Lord's going to come someday when they're not looking because you say, well, you know, I don't think he's going to come anytime soon. I'm going to just go ahead and live my life. And this little side note here, this is a principle that can be applied to prayer. Watch this. He says, those who are faithful are going to continue to watch because we know he's coming sometime. I just don't know when. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I wish it was soon. Have you ever heard some people say, I just wish it was soon? You know what? The people who say, I just wish it was soon are the ones who's watching. Because the fact is, they are kind of tired of watching. But they're not going to stop watching until he comes because they know the good time comes when he comes. The fact is, the folks says, I hope he doesn't come anytime soon. You know what they're doing? They're watching the world because they think this is what they want. Their eyes are on this and they don't want him to come and take it away. Huh? I don't want him to come yet. Why? Because we've got too much stuff here we want to do. And it may not be sinful stuff, but got a lot of stuff we want to do here. If we continue to watch, it's because we truly believe. If we stop watching, because we're not really sure whether he's coming back or not. Prayer is the same way. Some people say, well, I stopped praying because I knew the answer wasn't going to come. No, the answer wasn't going to come because he knew you were going to stop praying. If you waver it, think not that that man will receive anything of the Lord. Well, how do you know when to keep on praying? Does it agree with his book? If it doesn't agree with his book, or it's something that's really not addressed in the book, it's not necessarily wrong, it's okay to pray for it. Say, Lord, you know, Daddy, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It's kind of like I'm waiting for the day when one of these days, those three little grandbaby girls are going to come up to me and say, Poppy, can we go get ice cream? Oh, Poppy, you're the greatest Poppy in all the world. You're Poppy. Will you give me some ice cream? All right, come on. You know, not necessarily bad. Go ahead and get them ice cream. Wasn't on the schedule. Wasn't on my list. But let's go ahead and do it. Lord does those kind of things. When you delight yourself also in the Lord. On the other hand, if they say, oh, Poppy, can I have the keys to the car? And the 3 years old, no, you can't. But I want the keys to the car. You can't have them. Not going to happen. Because it's not my will, because I love you too much to give you that. You see? So now watch. But if they say, Poppy, can we come to your house for dinner? Well, they need to eat, don't they? Poppy, can they come we go to your house to eat? Well, okay, let's go eat. They can keep asking. That's not probably the best illustration there, but keep asking for the things that they know they need. And it's okay. But what if they say, well, stop asking, he's never going to do anything like that. We're all going to starve. Then they didn't believe that Poppy loved them. See what I'm saying? But they truly believed that Poppy loved them and made a promise to say, hey, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that's for sure. So we can keep hanging on for that. And if we stop praying, it's because we've stopped believing or never really believed in the first place. Number four. I want you to see some levels of accountability. And we're all done. Levels of accountability. Now he's talking about waiting and watching, being on active duty with the lights on, dressed in your uniform, ready to work. Always ready to serve the Lord. Because you never know when he's going to show up. Being ready. Now, there are some people who live in the next house and they didn't even know to be ready. Right? They didn't even know that he was coming back. No one told them, and they didn't know. But there are some people in the house that knew he was coming and they got ready. And there are some people in the house who knew he was coming and didn't bother to stay ready. You see what I'm saying? That's what we're talking about in this next verse here. Verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will to be ready, on duty all the time, and prepared not himself, didn't gird up his loins, didn't leave the light on. neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now watch this. If he had just done his duty, the bridegroom would have come home and served him dinner. Would have said, he's going to serve him. But he was not a faithful steward. So instead of being served, he's going to be severely beaten. In other words, there's going to be consequences for having not kept the watch, and it's not going to be good. Verse 48. But he that knew not, that's the guy next door who didn't know the guy was showing up, and did commit things worthy of stripes. In other words, he didn't do right either, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, unto him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now the fact is, we should be out beating the manservants and the maidens and getting drunk. He said, oh, well, he's delayed his coming, and he said, let's just go out and party. Well, they shouldn't have been doing that. And there's consequences for that. And they're not nice. But those of us who knew, we knew, and we still didn't keep ourselves ready for him. Now we're going to have to answer to him. The consequences are going to be greater. Hypocrites may try to play dumb, but God knows the truth about us. We can claim that we did not do what we were supposed to do because we didn't know what we were to do. But the fact is, God knows that we knew. He knows how much we knew. He knows how much we don't know. We cannot fool him. We can try to make excuses to everybody else, but we're not going to be able to come up with an excuse that God's going to believe. God knows the truth. There is a conscience in us, and wrong is wrong, whether anyone told us specifically or not. That's those who are doing wrong, and they know they shouldn't. We are accountable for that wrong. But when we know that what right is, and we do not do the right, God knows whether we knew to do right or not. And to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4:17. Sometimes we play the games as hypocrites, and we're those that know what is right, and yet we do otherwise. It's not just being simple and not knowing what right is. A hypocrite is somebody who knows what the truth is, just won't bring themselves to do it. Those that were never told right are still sinners, but more so out of ignorance than a hypocritical defiance. Let me give a couple summary statements. We're all done. We can say we believe and fear God, but if we do not act accordingly, even when it is difficult to do so, I think we're hypocrites. We say we fear God. Well, yeah, but I can't do that. God says, if God says for you to do it, then he can do it. He'll do it through you. The Lord blesses faithfulness. But if what appears to be faithfulness disappears when it's inconvenient or the going gets tough, then it's not faithfulness, it's hypocrisy, and that's a sin, and sin will be dealt with. Are you watching what the world is doing, or are you watching what the Lord is doing, watching for his coming? Are your eyes on the temporary or on the eternal? The eternal outweighs the temporal. It just does. Now, if you live your life given to the temporal rather than the eternal, it makes no difference what we profess to be doing. We're being hypocritical, and God will deal with us accordingly. So, if that definition is there, it takes us all in. I mean, it takes us all in. But maybe we should make sure it doesn't take us all in as much. Maybe we should, pray, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in my heart. I want to watch, but I want to be ready. And maybe there's some way I can be more ready, more prepared. Maybe there's some way I can make him even more pleased when he shows up. I mean, the fact is, the day that he doesn't show, gives me another day to clean up my act. Gives me another day to get some things straight. Gives me another day to learn a little bit more and to understand a little better, more fully, what God wants from me. Gives me another day to learn more word of God, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It gives me another day to live for him, to try to do right. And when we fail, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess it. That's not the problem. Why just keep failing? That's no problem. God knows that. It's not the fact that you keep failing. The righteous man falls seven times but gets up every time. It's not that you fall. It's that you confess and get back up. The man after God's own heart, we were talking about on Sunday morning, David, did greater sins than Saul. Saul decided that he was going to offer up a lamb when before Samuel got back. Saul decided he was going to keep a few extra sheep around there and not kill the king Agag. But he didn't confess. He was worried about what man. He said, listen, honor me before the people, he said to Samuel. And Samuel says, all right, you're losing the kingdom. David commits adultery, and he knew who her husband was. He was a friend of his. A man who was basically the secret service who laid down his life, put his life on the line for David every day. One of his mighty men. And he sleeps with his wife. And then he has that great man killed. But when faced with his sin, he said, oh, my soul, you're right. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't take your spirit from me. Lord, I'm going to go back to the way it was. I've done foolishly. I know your blood will cleanse it. Lord, I'm trusting the blood. Purge me with hyssop. Now, there were consequences. The baby died, but then God turned right around and gave her Solomon. He got Solomon with Bathsheba and promised him the throne. It's amazing when we confess and forsake what God will do. So it's not about whether we're going to mess up, we're going to mess up. It's about whether we keep our hearts and minds on him, constantly looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I know it's time to go. Let's pray. Father, you're so gracious to us. You're so wonderful. Your mercy is amazing. Your grace is always sufficient. And Lord, I thank you for the way you see us, and you pity us as a father pities his child. You know our frame, that we're just dust. And you come to us and allow us. But Lord, help us each to be more prepared to meet you today than we were yesterday, and tomorrow than we are today. Keep the lights on. Be on active duty. To keep on duty. Be in active preparation. To gird up our loins so that we're ready to do what you need to do when you come. Be ready to open the door immediately when you're there. Not to have to hide and wait and try to fix things up at the last minute before you come in. But be ready, transparent, and open to you. Lord, help us to rise up in arms of faith. Thank you for our dear folks here, Lord. May we take another step closer to you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.